Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the ebook series where we attempt to methodically go through Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which has abrogation approval by the Holy See through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See. And we're going to do that in a moment, but we're going to begin as we always do with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this bread, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary and Vocation, O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy, an apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. All of us, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Going to ask Maureen to come in now. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
So, this is so nice. Wednesdays and Fridays is so nice because it's like our little family. Mm-hmm. It's quaint. It's small. And hopefully, everyone has a nice tea or coffee in front of them. I think I have my coffee here. Yeah, I was scrambling around a little bit, doing a couple things downstairs in the chapel. But we're still on this beautiful section of before we go there, let's just we haven't mentioned this in a while. Jesus talks about the scenario, the situation right now, on what's going on, how he's calling this small group to become intimate, so intimate with him, an intimacy never before felt since Adam and Eve. I'm excluding our Blessed Mother, of course. And he's calling this small group because when Adam sinned, everything was disrupted. Everything fell into disorder. In fact, the mechanism stopped. God didn't stop, but Adam disconnected from God. So therefore, he could not receive what God was giving and therefore pass it on to his children. Well, God's calling this small group of individuals now, hopefully we're part of that, to reconnect again, to receive from the Father, from the Son, from the Holy Spirit, and to be able to, through the capacity of working through the fusion of God, be able to affect positively all souls, past, present, and future. Again, a dimension never before, I think, even fathomed, let alone be available to us. And it's stated much more articulately than I just did by Jesus in Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. So if you'd like to read that, highly recommend it. A lot of good things in there. Have you read that recently, Maureen?
No, I haven't.
I read it again yesterday for the first time in months. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, wow, did I ever read this before? And I know I did, but just like Father Sussman always tells us, every time we read, it's like it's brand new because we're seeing something different. We're feeling something different. Speaking of that, before we get into the material, we talked about this, I think, way back. We talked about how Louisa approached this learning curve, let's call it. And she did it, as Jesus states, she did it beginning with her imagination. Again, she wasn't worldly. She didn't have a high degree of education. So she didn't have a plethora of objects and scenarios in her mind to form this imagination, but she did the best she could. Jesus tells us he wants us to do the same thing. It has to begin with us. We have to sort of paint a picture in our mind. And then we have to be humble enough to say, okay, God, I can only take this picture or this movie to a certain level. And then that's it. Because we are very, very finite. God is infinite. So we have to take that active imagination and then defer it to God and allow our active participation to become passive. And St. John the Cross affirms this. When God infuses in the soul contemplative prayer, remember, contemplative prayer is not something we can go and buy or go and earn. It's the next level of when our meditation has been sort of maxed out. We've taken that again to the finite level of whatever we can, we're possible of doing. And then God, again, through his grace, through those mystical gifts, allows us the gift of contemplation, which takes it to a whole different level. So St. John of the Cross affirms that when God infuses in the soul contemplative prayer, the soul should abandon its active imagination and adopt a passive imagination. Again, St. John writes that it should be known that the practice of beginners is to meditate and make acts and discursive reflection with our imagination. But God begins to wean the soul, as they say, and place it in the state of contemplation. It is God who in this state is the agent. The soul is the receiver. The soul conducts itself only as the receiver and as one in whom something is being done, end quote. I don't want to go too far into that, but St. John the Cross, also, it's also available in the articles of Vatican II, the Vatican II document. So I think that's really important to understand. And then St. Bernard talks about a whole bunch of stuff also. Again, remember, St. Bernard is the one that gave us, along with St. Cyril, that beautiful articulation that there are three comings of our blessed Lord, not two, like we've been taught. There is the one 2,000 years ago. There is the one in the future, at the end of time. But there's this intermediate coming. Let's call it a coming 1.5. That is going to prepare us, sanctify us, and for that final coming, for that fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. It's happening now. I asked Father News, is that right now through the gifts of the divine will? He says, you bet it is. So can you imagine, Maureen?
I mean, that's a pretty big thing not to be taught.
Can you imagine we missed this opportunity? Yeah. I mean, Christ is in our midst. We know that. But this is his third coming right now. And he's coming only to the elect. Again, not that the elect is so special, but they are special because they've been called, perhaps because of their frailness, mm-hmm. or their lack of ability to do anything well. I'm not sure what his criteria is, but for some reason he's chosen us to know this gift, to elect to either accept it or reject it. And gosh, we couldn't be more fortunate. I mean, how can we possibly have a bad day? We can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, some days are going to be better than others. I know that. But again, so we're here. And again, this is the third coming. It's in our midst. And it's going to prepare us. St. Cyril says he says the third coming brings with it a divine kingdom. He used those exact words. Now, St. Cyril, if I'm not mistaken, was like in 325, 335, long time ago. St. Bernard was, I think, 1100s, 1200s. So again, contemporaries, 800 years apart, stating the same thing again, but you don't hear any. I mean, I've never heard of that before. In fact, when I first heard it, I said, no, that can't be true. Three comings. And again, this is something we have to be a bit clever with. I mean, if you're proselytizing and you're trying to introduce the gift of the divine will to somebody, this is probably not what you want to lead into. Like, you know, there's three comings of Christ through the divine will. Mm-hmm. I mean, any good Catholic is probably going to either question you or run quickly away from you. So this is something you may want to save for later, just like when Jesus says, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. That's, again, not something you want to come out of the box with. But it's true. We can't deny it. But again, there's a time and a place, I think, for all those. But it's true. And again, hopefully that we're part of this beautiful cog that's going to be set in motion, is in motion right now. We just want to be able to participate. Anything else, Maureen?
No, I was thinking the other day, like, even if we're not here when it finally arrives in its totality, just to be part of the movement to get it here, it's an honor. It's an honor. I mean, we might be watching it from another place, not on the earth. Who knows? We don't know. I mean, I think we'll probably be here, but it doesn't matter. We're this is an honor to be a part of the movement to call it down, to get everyone to know about it. It's a great honor, I think. just to be part of it.
It is. And I'm looking for the quote too. That's really so encouraging. It basically tells us that, you know, with these truths that Jesus is providing us, giving us through these writings, through the gift of the divine will, he says that whether we, I'm just trying to paraphrase while I'm looking for it. He says, whether we understand them completely or even just a little bit of it, he says, we're still, I think he used the word worth, like we're worthy to call ourselves children of God. The children of God. I mean, it's much, much better than what I just said, but I just can't find it right now. But it's really encouraging. So again, we're not asked to understand this completely. We're not going to. I don't think we'll ever understand it completely. And that includes all of eternity in heaven, hopefully, if we get there. But God is expecting us to understand it to the best of our ability. And then again, we allow God to take us where he wants to with that enlightenment, with that knowledge, that active imagination converted to passive, mm-hmm. so that God may take over. And if I find that passage during today, I will call it out because it's really very, very encouraging. I mean, there's a lot of encouraging quotes. In fact, what do you think about, Maureen, if I put like these encouraging quotes like on one page and just, you know, like a daily, like even if you have seven of them, like every day you start off with that.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
that'd be great.
You know, like you know, the gift of the divine will is for everyone, for all souls, you know, all situations.
There's things you remember. You remember those kind of things.
Yeah, especially when they're in front
sentences.
Of you.
Yeah.
But I can't find the one I'm looking for. It's really, really good. But anyway, we'll
I mean,
look for
when you read the volumes, you just see like Jesus is so appreciative of anything we can do. You know, like he's our cheerleader. Come on, and you know, he wants us to do as much as we can, and he knows it. We're all different, like you said. He knows what I can give, what someone else can give, what someone else. So you can't compare. It's an individual indwelling of the spirit in everybody that's so different.
Well, I like the way you said that.
Yeah.
Individual indwelling. And it is. And he also says to Louisa, I'm going to paraphrase, all of heaven, including our blessed Lord, gets so excited because in the beginning there are so few. There are very few. He says, you know, many will just... we'll say thank you, but no thank you. And I can't find that. I'm not going to look for it now, but anyway, because we have a lot to talk about. We're still on the 6.1.5.1. If you're joining us for the first time, this is Father Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. Father was asked to translate all the writings from Italian to English. And when he did that, he was in the midst of going for his doctoral degree in mysticism. And he elected to use Luisa's writings as his thesis. So what he set out to do was he set out to prove that everything that Louisa penned, everything that Jesus and Mary reportedly, and we know it's not reportedly, we know it's actual, that provided to Louisa these writings, that everything is grounded in our Catholic faith. There's nothing outside of our faith. And he successfully defended that through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. It also received what's called abrogation. Abrogation, I never heard of before, but it's the scholastic word for approval. So it was given approval by the Pontifical University, which is giving its approval on behalf of the Holy See. So all of this is approved by the Church. And what Father Iannuzzi's done is he's taken the writings, besides the translation, he summarized it. He's condensed it from 10,000 pages down to about 700 pages, and he's taken the duplications out, and he summarized it, and then he leads us into the volumes where we may see where he developed his theory or his summary, and it's all corroborated, so it's all beautiful. And the reason why we're spending some time on this is because it's so important. Right now, the late Archbishop Pacieri, as you see on the screen, he asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. And again, mostly all priests can answer a theological question, but not all priests can answer a divine will theological question. In fact, if you ask a priest that doesn't know anything about the divine, well, they're probably going to have to take the safe course and just say, I don't know, perhaps hold off on reading that. You don't know what you may hear. So that's why actually Archbishop Pacieri, through Father Brown, when he was here, I think you were here also, Maureen, stated that he encourages us to begin these cenacles in the house, in the homes, in the small places. Again, if the church welcomes it, that's where we want to be. But just in case we're here, because nobody can control what we do in our homes, as long as we're not doing something illegal. So there can be no stop. For example, so if we have a priest, a pastor that knows nothing about the divine will, we ask for the blessing of these writings, or we want to include it in something in the church. And again, he has no idea what it is. He has to take the way safe. He'll say, no, don't do anything. Hold off on that until I can research it. And he probably won't have the time to do that. So are you going to pause the divine will? And so it can put you into a precarious situation. So again, using these writings, using the dissertation, I think three or four Seneca groups are using them. I mean, you're fulfilling the request of Archbishop Pacieri. Nobody can complain about it because it's in your home, or even if it's in the church, you've got a piece of spiritual work here that has the approval. So they can't say, you don't have acceptance of these writings. They haven't passed the litmus test. Of course they have. So again, great opportunity. Again, these are subordinate to the critical edition of Luis's writings when they do come out, but we're not quite sure when we're going to have that. Remember, the typical edition was generated about 2 or 3 years ago in Italian, and now we're waiting for the critical. But the Archbishop has warned us, has given us a little bit of a red flag. There's a sort of a standstill right now, not because there's anything wrong. Again, I'll repeat, there are no errors in Luis's writings. However, the Archbishop states that there are some ambiguities. There are some parts of the writings that at this time cannot be fully understood and presented from a Catholic perspective. And Jesus knew this. He said in the volumes, he says, church is going to set out to understand this humanly, and it's going to be impossible. They're going to have to receive the divine grace and graces, the mystical gifts, in order to understand this language of heaven. So he knew this was happening. Eventually, they will understand it. They will receive its blessing in totality. But until that day happens, because again, we don't know when it's going to be, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. And again, if you want to get the book, you can get it in hard copy and soft copy on Father Nuzzi's website. It's livinginthedivinewill.org, I think is the web address. And it's also available in ebook. And if any of you are having a situation where, finances perhaps are a little short and not very good right now, in confidence, if you want to just send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, we'll get you at least an ebook version of it for free. Father has, he says, I want this. I want everyone to have it that wants it. So we won't let cost prevent that. So if you want it, and money's an issue, don't worry about the money. Just send us an email. We'll get it to you probably within 24, 48 hours. And you'll have your own version of it on your own computer, which is really nice because you can copy and paste it. You can click on the footnote and go right to the footnote. And I love using the ebook. I mean, I like using the hard copy too. Where's my hard copy? People get a chuckle out of my hard copy. I'll just show it right now. So it's had some use. So again, encourage everyone to use it. So Maureen, we're on 104. So would you be so kind to take us to 104?
Okay. 104. Thus, Luisa revisits Thomas's description of Christ's theandric operation in her description of the divine and human operations of the divine person of Christ that cooperate in a continuous, all-embracing, and all-penetrating manner. Okay. Oh, I think I started at 104. You wanted me to go to 104.
But that was good also, because actually did was that summarized the beginning, and that actually saved us some time. So thank you for being so efficient, Maureen. So why don't we take it down to 104?
Okay.
And again, this is something also, again, for encouragement. I love encouragement throughout the day. That's why I think I have to put all those quotes down. This is one, too, where Jesus explains, and Father Anuzzi writes about this, how grace anticipates the soul. Don't worry if you're saying, okay, how am I going to get through this? How am I need grace to understand this, but you haven't done it yet. Don't be surprised if you don't have the grace at that moment, because grace will be, it anticipates the soul. So when you need it, it's going to be like, can we read this, please, Maureen? It's grace.
While the soul experiences this state, God communicates his grace, the grace of true and eternal love. I limit myself to adding that grace anticipates the soul. It arouses it, but only when the soul masticates and digests these truths, as the body consumes and digests food, does the grace communicated then enter to take possession of the soul. This is why not everyone receives the effects described above. For some let such grace escape their minds like bright flashes, and they fail to make any room for it.
Yeah, that was actually Jesus speaking. And he explains also why two people can look at the same piece of literature and have two totally opposite reactions. In fact, he says it in volume 36. I'm not sure if I have it somewhere. Oh, yeah, opposite effects. Can we go to here, please, Maureen? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Volume 36, May 19th, 1938, Opposite Effects. So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will feel my flames, and all transformed in love will enter me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths.
That's so encouraging. It's just an excerpt. The whole passage is great. Another thing too, just to remember that to be disposed. You know, we're not talking about having an abundance of understanding or written material or any of that. The disposition Jesus is talking about here is desire. You know, for those who read these writings with the intention of finding the truth. But those who are splitting hairs to find doubts, you know, that's the disposition God's talking about. Do we really want this? I mean, he says also in another way, articulating almost the same thing here. He says basically the reason for a soul not understanding the divine will is the fact that they don't want to understand the divine will. The true desire to understand is lacking. Oh, that's what he said. The true desire to understand is lacking. So again, it's almost like God will flip the light on when we're asking him through our disposition, through our desire to put the light on. But if we want the light to stay closed, he's going to keep it. Again, he's never going to invalidate our free will, which I think is so great. Okay, so 104. We read through some of it before, but what I did was I took the crosses out of the early part of this, Maureen, and gave you a bit more hard work to do. So if we can take it down to the cross here, I think that's a great start.
Okay. Footnote 104, volume 12, January 29th, 1919. God will accomplish the third renewal of humanity by manifesting what his divinity did within his humanity. I was doing the adoration of the wounds of blessed Jesus, and at the end I recited the creed, intending to enter into the immensity of the divine will, in which there are all the acts of the creatures, past, present, and future, and even those acts which the creature should do, but did not, because of negligence or wickedness. And I was saying, my Jesus, my love, I enter your volition, and with this creed, I intend to redo and repair all the acts of faith which the creatures have not done, all the disbeliefs and the lack of adoration which is due to God as Creator. While I was saying these and other things, I felt my intelligence being dissolved in the divine will, and a light investing all my intellect, in which I could see my sweet Jesus. This light spoke and spoke, but who can say everything? I will say it confusedly. And then I feel such repugnance that if obedience were not so severe, but more indulgent, it would not force me into such sacrifices. But you, my life, give me the strength, and do not leave this poor little ignorant one on her own. Now, it seemed that he was saying to me, my beloved daughter, I want to let you know the order of my providence. Every 2,000 years I have renewed the world. In the first 2,000 years I renewed it with the deluge. In the second 2,000, I renewed it with my coming upon earth when I manifested my humanity, from which, as if from many fissures, my divinity shone forth. The good ones and the very saints of the following 2,000 years have lived from the fruits of my humanity, and, in drops, they have enjoyed my divinity. Now we are around the third 2,000 years, and there will be a third renewal. This is the reason for the general confusion. It is nothing other than the preparation of the third renewal.
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible. Yeah.
It paints the picture of that third coming of Christ, that the intermediate coming 1.5. Okay, it's the 2,000 years. He also explains, too, that's why the chaos in the world, I mean, it really is chaos. Right? It's just like Our Lady spoke of Fatima. There'll come a time, there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad. Bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. That's exactly where we are today. So again, and we talked about this on Radio Maria, Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lady has paved the way for us. All her apparitions, besides them bringing us closer to the divine will, have explained to us what to prepare for. Almost like someone telling us, watch out for the pothole around the corner. Watch out for the gate down. I mean, she told us everything. And again, I'm echoing the words of some theologians. Many don't pay attention to Mary's words.
That's right.
Or very little attention to it. But she's done everything. I mean, look at our Lady of Akita. There'll come a time where priest against priest, cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishop. Isn't that right now? Mm-hmm. Especially this work the Vatican came out with the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Father Anuzzi did a great write-up on. I think I it's on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So again, everything has been told to us, and again, he's saying there's going to be another renewal. That's why everything's in chaos right now, and this is that third coming. Maybe I'll send out the clip to the blip of what Saint Cyril actually said, and Saint Bernard. And these are not slouches in our faith. These are doctors of the Church. In fact, I think St. Cyril is a doctor and a father of the Church. In fact, St. Bernard, he's in the breviary, which the clergy read every day. I think it's in entry 169, somewhere around Lent. So again, these are bona fide saints, bona fide Church fathers, doctors of the Church that are speaking this, but yet we don't hear much about it. Again, this is like God, again, saving the best for last, like Father Celso reminds us. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, for those of us who have followed our Blessed Mother, whether Lourdes, Fatima, I mean, all her apparitions, Medjugorje, so she's led us to a certain level, and we should have that level of calmness, despite everything, because she's our mother, and she told us this would happen. She told us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to fast. Let Holy Mass be your life, she said. I know she said that in Medjugorje, let Holy Mass be your life. And so then when her people, which most of the people in the divine will, have been led here by Our Lady. So now we're going into another level of the divine will. And again, we're learning things that should help us to retain a calmness about what's happening. You know, it's we she's prepared us, and now Jesus is telling us why this is all happening. It all should make sense to us. And so Father speaks a lot, Father Celso, to have courage and not fear, because that's what Jesus says throughout the volumes. Pluck up courage, he says. Pluck up courage. And have the calmness to know that we're in God's hands, and God's plan is always a lot better than anything we can imagine.
Right.
So.
Right. But again, to believe this, to have that disposition, to have the desire so that God can shine the light on it, so that we can have a understand that intellectual light, so we can have, because remember, the truths come in through the ears usually, and or the eyes. They reside in the intellect. Hopefully we can place it in the memory, but then it takes grace to convert that into wisdom. And God talks about that also. And you mentioned about the Mass, about in Medjugorje. I mean, I'm understanding now more and more through the divine will, the importance of the Mass, why it's a grave sin to miss Mass. It's the Eucharist. It's the divine will that's grabbing us to desire it even more, preparing us, disposing us. In fact, Jesus tells us that in volume 14, September 11th, 1922, he says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing that I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. This was my primary purpose in the sacraments that I instituted and the many graces given to my saints. These have all been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. So it's all been there as a catalyst, as an assistance, as a conduit to bring us back, or actually to bring us where we are right now, and then further. We really are so blessed.
Yeah, it says what we just read. It says the saints of the following 2,000 years have lived from the fruits of my humanity, and in drops they have enjoyed my divinity. We're getting more than the drops now. So I think I took it as he's talking about the great saints, Saint Francis, Saint Catherine, all these saints. They only had the drops.
They're
in heaven saying, "Oh my gosh, I wish we could be down there now." You know,
I have a silly imagination when it comes to that. It's like God has been leaving breadcrumbs through the forest to lead us back, and the saints, some saints, have actually picked up some of these crumbs and have received the grace and the understanding. Because again, if you go back, there are many saints that have an inkling of the divine will; they speak of it. Again, all for us to, because again, if we have a devotion to St. Francis, you're going to find something that St. Francis said that's divine willish. St. Dominic, the same way. Luisa was a Third Order Dominican. So again, God tried to tie everything together, leaving nobody out. And again, everything that we've done in our lives has not been for naught. In fact, we should be very thankful that God has taken us, whether it was a direct route or through the roundabout way like he took me. I mean, all these routes that he took us, we had these staging posts that we had to go through. We had to go through this divine, we had to go through this prayer group or that rosary group or this third order. All of that had to be part of our history, so to speak. And then I love thinking about this, God's mysterious permissible will. Think about one of the worst situations in our lives, whatever it may be. And then just ask ourselves an honest question. If God's permissible will did not allow that situation to occur in our lives, would we be here today? And it's probably not. I mean, that event in our lives probably had a mechanism to redirect us in one way or another. And I think that's what's so beautiful, how amazing. Again, God predestined us to receive this gift. He knows who's going to accept it. He knows who's not going to accept it. And, oh, last but not least, when he mentions about in the beginning here, about redoing all the work and the acts of all creatures that they miss because of negligence or wickedness. And these are those voids that we create. Remember, there's two voids. The first void is the void that Adam received and we received. That's the housing, the area for which to house God in our soul. That's the first void. That's a good void. The void he's talking about here is the bad void, which is basically missed opportunities to give glory to God on the level of God, due to God. So those lack of thank yous, those lack of, again, negligence, wickedness, all those acts must be redone, but they all were redone for us. We just have to claim them now. So again, our participation in this can, again, assist all souls, past, present, and future.
Peter, I'm glad you go over that, because I need to hear it over and over again. Like, you know, the cog that you showed us? Mm-hmm. I mean, we probably saw that cog 10 times. And finally, it's in my mind forever. And it really helps me. I mean, I think of that cog a lot. And yeah. when we repeat stuff, it sticks. It takes me a little bit longer, I think, than the average person. To hear it over and over, and how grace anticipates the soul, to hear that. I mean, I think about that a lot. So it's great. So thank you for repeating those things. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to, because my mind is so small. I can only focus on a couple of things, but I have to repeat them also for them to finally take. But you're right. The grace anticipates. And I start thinking about the martyrs of the past. You know, St. Stephen, the deacon. Right. How, you know, he mischievously, the king, I think, of the town says, bring me all the riches. And what does he do? All the treasures. And he gets all the lepers, all the handicapped. He brings the treasure, God's treasure. And of course, he infuriates the king, and he gets burned. And again, grace anticipates the soul. He's burnt, half his body's charred. And he turns to the king and says, I'm done. Turn me over. Yeah. That's the report. That's what we have. So again, that takes grace. That takes... Yeah. That takes courage. That takes something that God provided that I think made that martyrdom possible.
Right. And you had to have faith to get there.
You have to almost know it's coming. Trust. For it to come. Again, it's all connected. But the reason why I repeat so much is because I don't know much. So I have to keep talking about what I do remember to talk about.
I think in some situations, once we give our fiat, There comes that time where we can say no or fiat. And once we give that fiat to even impossible situations or whatever God's calling us to do, he goes, okay, the grace is there for you. You know.
Well, you don't know how big what you just said is, because that I do have. God says he has, and I'm going to read the passage. He's got much to give us. He gives us a little bit outside of the divine will to attract us, to dispose us. Yeah. He's waiting for that fiat, because with that fiat, again, in the state of grace, I think it's in volume 6, he says, we can enter into this gift. Mm-hmm. State of grace, desire, not very difficult right there. Mm-hmm. But once we give the fiat, and again, we have to give multiple fiats throughout our life, throughout our day. Once we enter into it, that's where he says is the plethora. That's where the large abundance of the grace that he has to give us. We have to be inside.
Yeah.
Receive it. It's like you have to go in the house to be warm. You have to go in the house to get some food. You have to go in the house to go to the bathroom. You really can't do that outside. Well, you can, but you may get in trouble. So here's what he says about being in the gift. This is volume 19, August 31st, 1926. Jesus speaking to Louisa, and actually speaking to us through Louisa. Quote, now how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive, end quote. Again, to get into the kingdom is easy. Now, we're not talking about being on the level of Louisa. We're not talking about that. We're talking about as what Jesus says is entering into the kingdom, entering into the gift. And that is what he states is easy. He says it, okay, here's another encouraging one. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Jesus speaking to us through Louise. He says, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So we don't have to go looking for this. And he says it also, another one, he says, why are you looking for me outside of yourself when you can certainly, surely find me inside yourself? We don't have to go chasing butterflies anymore. Go here, go there. I mean, it's nice if we can, but if we want to, we don't have to. And for those who can't, don't worry, because he's right here. Luis was the perfect example, right? Jesus put her in bed, right, for the 60 years, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping. He says, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. He wants the same for us. See, it's almost like strategically the opposite of the Pharisees. They looked outgoingly like everything was in order, everything was good, but as we read, the heart was not in sync with the intellect. Well, here he's saying, no, I don't want the outside expressions. I want the heart. And that's why it's so different here, too. The saints of the past, they did something, and whatever they did, that's who they became. You know, the founder, the foundress of this. Now it says, no. God says, no, I want to change it all around. I want you now to be first, then go out and do, because now you're doing it on a whole different level, on a whole different dimension, one you could not get to by yourself, but one that I will bring you to.
Amazing.
It sounds like a movie that's almost unbelievable. And
Or how
he's
about
doing.
I was thinking of Our Lady who lived a quiet life in Nazareth. No one ever saw her. And yet she lived the divine will every day, and it was a miracle every day, but she never performed miracles. Like she never performed any great miracles. But she her whole life was a miracle because
Right.
she
Well,
never
that was
said, yeah,
it.
never said no to God.
Yeah, her miracle was almost invisible because it was every day, every moment. Again, God's not looking for the outside. I mean, that may come for some of us on the outside, the extraneous things. But he's looking for the heart. He says, be first. Be and then do. Again, in the past they did. To no fault of their own, they did, and that's who they became. He says, I want to change that around a little bit. That I have that somewhere also, but I can't find it. And also he's giving us a perfect example. He said every 2,000 years, again, if he's off by 20 years or 30 years, I mean, 1,000 years a day, so he's off by a couple seconds. We can't take that literally, like, okay, this is the time. It's 1,000 right now. What happened? But every 2,000 years is going to be renewal. So we know why now, why all heck is breaking loose all over. The church, you see turmoil. You see it in the world. You see it in in government. I mean, you don't have to look far to find it. I mean, things are extraordinarily bad and dangerous. I mean, I used to love going to New York City just to, walk around and have a cup of coffee and that type. I would never want to venture into there now. And that's really sad because there's so much to see. And that goes for other cities also. I heard Paris is a mess. And Paris used to be, I mean, many, many years ago I visited, that was beautiful. So again, these attractions that we liked, God is sort of neutralizing them or allowing them to be neutral. He's not doing it, but it's permissible with allowing it. Why? So we can concentrate. See, the worse things get in the world, the more opportunity God has of us going back to Him. Remember 9/11 here in the States? Everybody was in the church the next day or the next 3 days. It was great. I mean, the churches were full. People were saying, God, you must help us. God wants his, hey, we read that months ago, Maureen. What does God want? He wants his paternity back. He wants to be father again. How do you be a father or a mother? You have your children dependent on them, right? Like little children. That's all. We can be independent with our dependents. He wants his paternity back. So he's not looking for something very difficult, but yet we're making it very difficult because we're trying to emancipate ourselves, and we know we cannot live without him. Deep down, we know that. We try to deceive ourselves intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, but we can't. There's nothing we can do. That's why he's probably amused at our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness, but our inability to do anything well without him. Remember, we're nothing without him, but we're everything to him. How could you be nothing and everything at the same time? It all depends on the relationship. And this is easy to mend. He's giving us the opportunity. We have the sacrament of reconciliation. That's all that's necessary. He says anyone in the state of grace may receive this gift, even if you don't know anything about Louisa or the divine will. It's a mystical gift. It's not given equally like our baptismal gifts. It's given unequally to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. All we need to be is in the state of grace. He says that too in one of the volumes. I don't have that in front of me also. It's all here for the taking. How are you on time, Maureen?
I'm fine.
Okay, why don't we go down to the next Red Cross, if we could, please.
My love wants to pour itself out. It wants to make known the excesses which my divinity operated in my humanity for the creatures, excesses which greatly surpass the excesses that my humanity operated externally. This is also why I often speak to you about living in my will, which I have not manifested to anyone until now. At the most, they have known the shadow of my will, the grace and sweetness of doing it. But to penetrate inside of it, to embrace immensity, to be multiplied with me, and even, while being on earth, penetrate everywhere, both into heaven and into the hearts, laying down the human ways and acting in divine ways. This is not yet known, so much so that not to a few will this appear strange, and those who do not keep their minds open to the light of the truth will not understand a thing. But little by little, I will make my way, manifesting now one truth, now another, about this living in my will, so that they will end up understanding. Thank you, Jesus. He's the best. He really is.
You couldn't have scripted a better ending to the Sonic.
Oh boy, we are really blessed.
And for anyone who states, and we've heard this too, well, this has been around for a long time. Yeah, the saints had, I often speak to you about my will. He says, I have not manifested to anyone until now. At the most, they've known just a shadow, just a bit of it. Again, just to tie it together. This is, I think this is the ultimate communion of saints. Again, I'm not speaking theologically, I can't. But sure seems like it to me. Thanks be to God, we have everything.
Yeah, we do.
Any final thoughts, Marie?
Well, I thought this would be a good one to give to people who say, well, I do God's will. I don't need this. He says here the difference. Yeah.
Actually, that's a good document, too, the difference between doing the will and living in the will. Actually, Father Inez, he has a whole chapter, not chapter, but yeah, I guess it's a chapter on the difference between the delineation between living and doing. It's in the volumes also. It's in the volumes. Besides that, it's also in Father's dissertation. Okay, just really, really quickly, we've got a great Divine Will Weekend. Tomorrow, we have Reverend Father B. Thomas Sell, so he'll have a Divine Will Day of Recollection. This begins at about 8 a.m. with Eucharistic Adoration and then the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. And Father will begin speaking at 9 a.m. and it'll go to about 3. Here's the schedule right here. So basically 5 45-minute talks, 15-minute break. We'll go to Poland for Adoration. Enough time to go to the restroom, get a drink or something to eat, and back for the next talk. So 5 45-minute talks, Day of Recollection tomorrow. Again, same connection, whatever, however you connected today, same thing, same way to get there. And on Sunday, we have Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine daughters that are going to come to us live from Maryville. We haven't seen them in a while. We've been in Italy with the sisters, but now we're going to have Mother and the sisters in Maryville. I think it's the first time after the first of the year we're having them. And so it's, again, it's a Divine Will Weekend. Thanks be to God. Nothing we've done, but everything God has done for us. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you. Bye,
thanks, everyone. Everybody. Bye, everybody.
We need one another really badly. Okay, see everyone tomorrow. Hopefully 8 a.m. Pray that I wake up on time. Okay, love everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I mean that.